Hey everyone, this is Achyut Tibava from Nightlight Astrology, and today I'm continuing my series interviewing people about their journey with professional astrology. Today I have a special guest, Ivy Underwood, who will be talking with us about her journey with becoming a professional astrologer. Ivy took one of my programs a few years ago and has a thriving professional practice, so we're going to talk to her today about what that journey's been like, advice she has for people studying astrology, and I just love hearing the stories of other astrologers and how they came to astrology. It's like one of my favorite subjects ever is to hear that life story and how that unfolds. To me, it's really encouraging, and hopefully to all of you who are studying out there, it's also encouraging to hear these stories. Before we dive in, if you're new to the channel, always appreciate your subscribing to the channel. If you've been watching for a while, it really helps the algorithm to pick up on the channel and help it grow. So your like, your subscribe, share your comments, all those things help us to reach more people. And click on the notification bell for updates. If you are subscribed, you get little notifications when we do live casts. As always, if you're looking for a transcript of any of my daily talks, it can be found on my website, nightlightastrology.com, usually within 24 hours. And before we dive into speaking with Ivy today, I want to remind everybody that my new class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, starts on June 5th. This is a one-year program in ancient Hellenistic astrology. I'm really excited to be starting a new cohort. This is the same program that our guest Ivy went through herself a few years ago. And here it is on the screen, and you guys can see Ivy too. She's here with us. And let me just show you what you can do to find the course. You click on the courses page. Here's the first year course, and you're going to scroll down to learn more about it. Everything that is included in the course is all there for you to learn about on this page. If you have any questions, you can email us info@nightlightastrology.com. There's 30 courses on the year. There's 12 additional guest lectures. We have breakout study sessions, a tutoring staff that's there in a discussion forum, lots of extra bonus material and homework and quizzes. You can go as deep as you want to. We meet on Sundays from noon to about 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. The sessions are recorded. If you can't make the live webinars, typically have 3 weeks on and a week or two off with breakout study sessions in between. There is an early bird payment. You can save $500 off if you pay up front. There's a 12-month payment plan, and then there's tuition assistance for people who might need help for whatever reason. So if the price point is out of your range, you still want to study astrology, try to make sure no one's priced out. So check out that need-based tuition option. Those are limited, so be sure you sign up for those soon. We haven't had to cap classes before, but they're getting bigger every year, and so that possibility is there. So I'm just telling people, use that early if you want to make sure that you get a spot in the program. Okay, so that is that's all. Those are all of my announcements for today. I'm really happy to introduce Ivy Underwood, who is a professional astrologer, and she came through my program starting in the fall of 2020 during the pandemic, when there was a lot of people actually studying astrology during that time across the board, not just my program. Many astrologers were really, people who love astrology were deepening their craft, people who teach it were seeing more students enroll. It's a real pleasure to have you here today, Ivy, and to learn a little bit about you and your story and how you became an astrologer.
Hi, it's really good to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Well, let's just start. I always start with the basic same question for my guests, which is, you know, how did astrology first come into your life? Like, when did you become initiated or get bit by the bug or whatever?
Yeah, so I guess I've always known about astrology, specifically like always knowing my sun sign, just growing up, like I just always knew it because my mom shared it with me. But that's about all I ever knew about astrology. I hadn't even heard of any of the other zodiac signs, not until 2019. 2019 is actually when I got bit by the astrology bug. On YouTube, it was just blowing up. And I found out that I have more than just one sign, and I kind of got really obsessed. And I found this one YouTube channel that talked about all of the signs and the houses and like all of that. And I watched every single video and learned about every single sign, all the planets, all the houses. And I just became obsessed. to the point where I started like giving my friends little readings. And they were telling me, hey, you're really good at this. And I was like, oh, really? So I took it to the internet. I went on Tumblr and I just opened up an account and I was like, hey, I'm giving out free readings. And I got a bunch of responses. It was actually overwhelming how many responses I got for free readings. And so I was like, okay, this is taking a lot of energy out of me. So why don't I just open up an Etsy shop and charge like $5 for a reading, just so I'm not like doing all of this work for like little compensation, you know? So I opened up my Etsy shop in 2019 and it just sort of took off from there.
Amazing. Yeah, it's a really common story where you're getting into astrology, you're learning enough to be dangerous, you know, and you're like, hey, I need some experience actually reading for people. I don't want to charge, you know, a full cost when I need experience, but I also don't want to be draining myself. So what do I do? And it seems like a rite of passage to have to figure that out. And that particular aspect of developing a practice, there's always the people who end up having one always have to go through that. So that's really interesting. And that you chose Etsy is really cool. So did you have a lot of people coming in that way then? And like, how did your, would you say that like, you know, what was the learning curve like in starting to do actual readings?
Sure. So initially when I opened my shop, I was having a lot of people come in because I was linking my shop to my Tumblr blog where I was already posting about astrology. And I was like, hey, if you want to learn more, you know, you can like book a reading with me. And then 2020 happened, their pandemic happened, and I was selling career readings. And then, you know, March of 2020 happened, and then it just blew up because like Etsy, the platform Etsy, was like promoting my shop and that particular career reading, and it blew up. And I think it was around that point where I was like, okay, I understand this, but I think there's more to astrology and reading birth charts that I'm just not getting. Like specifically when it came to the sign of Aquarius, I was practicing modern astrology. And when I was describing the sign of Aquarius, I was very confused because, you know, in modern astrology, they link it to Uranus and they say like Aquarius is like changeable and sporadic and spontaneous. And I was like, how is a fixed sign changeable and sporadic and spontaneous? Like it made no sense to me. So I got kind of discouraged doing astrology for a little bit because I was like there was just something that was missing. And like I dug around on the internet for a while until like I finally found like traditional astrologers talking about like the traditional rulers, and I was like, this makes so much more sense, like Saturn being with Aquarius. And then there was actually this popular Hellenistic astrologer, I don't know if you heard of her, but her name's Maren Altman. I found her and she recommended me you, and I saw that you had courses, and I was like, okay, I have to do this because like I'm really lost and confused. And that's when I enrolled in your program.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, Maren came through. I'm not sure if she took one of my courses or if she took some of the workshops that I gave, but I met her at one point. She introduced herself in one of my classes, and I come to find out she's like this huge, you know, astrological celebrity or whatever. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that another astrologer, you know, like, but it's the same thing. Like, I'm always taking other, you know, I always take in other astrologers. I have, you know, some on my list that I like and that I refer other people to. And that's the way it should be. It takes a village for any of us to become an astrologer. So, and to keep growing as an astrologer too. I'm pointing people, by the way, to Ivy's website, which is zerodegreestaurus.com. I actually want to scoot over there really quickly just so that you can, I just want to point out that if you want to check out Ivy's work, if you go to zerodegreestaurus.com, one of the places you're most active is on TikTok. So if you click on the TikTok link at zerodegreestaurus.com, you can go to, well, I guess it's going to ask me to verify something, but anyway, you can go to TikTok and find Ivy's work, and then on YouTube as well, you'll be taken to.
So you've been worried about.
There we go. That's sorry, I didn't know the audio was going to come on right away, but so the links are there at zerodegreestaurus.com if you want to connect to Ivy's regular content. And yeah, you're regularly making content. What drew you to TikTok in particular? Is that like, it was kind of a new medium, I feel like. And for a lot of people, there's maybe a lot of astrologers who got used to, like myself, who got really used to like YouTube or Facebook or Instagram and haven't like maybe explored with TikTok, but it seems like a medium that some astrologers are really finding a lot of success in producing content on. How did it occur to you to check that out?
Well, honestly, I just wasn't having much success with YouTube. And so I decided, let me just post on TikTok. And it was during the Venus retrograde, this past Venus retrograde. And I just like posted just some videos about it. And the response was huge. I got like a video that got like 600,000 views. I was like, what? What is going on here?
And that's so impressive.
Like, okay, I think TikTok is the way to go, because you know people like consuming astrology information in like a short amount of time. You know, where on TikTok it's like 60-second videos, and so that just seemed to work for me. So that's where I spend a lot of time.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That there's something about it's like its own performing art. Like when I was in graduate school for creative writing, you know, you have like, you know, fiction and like a novel, and then you have like a novella, and then you have like a short story, and everyone has a different artistic, specialty. And, I think it's a real gift to be able to, if you can say something that grabs people's imagination and their heart and soul toward this spiritual language, and you can do it in under 60 seconds and bring people in, and you're not just I mean, it's fun to have fun and be like an entertainer, and like, you know, I like that stuff too. I get a lot of laughs out of I have some students who make really funny content on Instagram and other places, but like to be able to capture someone's spiritual imagination in under 60 seconds is like an art form. Yeah, it feels that way. Definitely. So anyway, that's just me appreciating it, because I certainly can't do it. I need like a runway of like an hour. I'm such a. But anyway, so what I'm curious about is, you know, when you were learning astrology, what were some of, like, if you had to give some advice to people studying, the places that you got hung up? One of them you mentioned, for example, being, you know, the leap from modern astrology to understanding the traditional roots and making some of that synthesis with the ancient and modern. What were some of the other stumbling blocks that you had in becoming a professional astrologer? And maybe what advice would you give to people who are on the same path right now?
Sure. So some of the things that challenged me the most were actually the fundamentals, like the house meanings or the sign meanings or the aspect meanings. Like it was hard because coming from modern astrology, I was like memorizing each placement. I was like, okay, this is what Jupiter in Aquarius means, and this is what Jupiter in Aries means. And I was just like trying to keep in my mind like key words for all of these placements, you know, this is what the third house means. And it was very challenging when I was actually reading for clients, because, you know, I would come to a blank when I had like the sun in the third house and I hadn't memorized what that meant. And I was just like, you know, like I didn't know what to say. And it was very embarrassing, because I was like, I'm supposed to be a professional and I have no idea what this means. So I think some of the advice that I would give is to have like a good, strong understanding of the basics, to the point where like you don't have to look anything up on the internet or in a book, because like you have the foundational information in your head, which I think you can really get from your course.
Oh, thank you. That's a great compliment. I think, wouldn't you agree though? And I think, because I get what you're saying, and it's a really good, strong piece of advice to develop, develop your language base with the signs, planets, and houses, maybe aspects, that combination, and make it really strong with the basics. It feels to me, looking back on my first few years of practice, like there's also this, it's like there's some of it you just can't learn until you're put on the spot and you're just sort of grilling in your own ignorance. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, there's some muscles that have to develop under that kind of pressure. So just to also ask the question, do you think that you can ever be fully prepared going in? You know what I mean?
Like fully prepared going into a reading with a client?
Like when you're brand new. I mean, it's some of that has to be like, you know, I think the best advice you gave there was, you know, start with the basics. But I guess what I'm asking as a follow-up is, do you ever think you could have been fully prepared for what it would be like to read for people?
No.
That's what I thought.
those first few one-on-one readings were honestly embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed to go back and watch them, because it was like, oh, I know what I'm doing. And then, you know, a client asked a question and I'm like, I don't know what to say for a second. Yeah, definitely. No, I don't think that I could have ever been prepared for those first few client readings, just because it's like there's so much you learn by actually speaking to people and hearing their experiences and you know, looking for their experience in the chart. It's something that you learn with practice.
That's really interesting. Looking for their experience in the chart. Can you say more about that? What does that mean to you? How do you do that?
So, you know, if let's say someone is like talking about their career and, you know, they're telling me like what they do for a career. And I don't know, let's say they're a plumber and I'm like, oh yeah, a plumber. That's kind of like a technical career. I wonder if Mercury is going to describe that. And then I'm like, Mercury is not associated with their 10th house at all. And then I'm like, the moon is associated, but like, how does that make sense? And then I'm like, oh, plumbing takes place inside of the home. The moon rules the home. Oh, okay. And so like, that's kind of what I mean by looking for their experience in the chart, because it's not always what I think it's going to be.
Right. So there's this, I love what you're saying, because this is something that I mention a lot, you know, when I'm teaching classes or workshops, and I'm always saying, we play this game in my classes called Where Do I See It? And the point of, and you probably remember this from being in classes, the point of the game is to bring in something that you can't see in the chart. You're like, well, where does it show that my mom dealt with migraines in her birth chart? I just can't figure it out. And, you know, a lot of developing your predictive power in astrology, meaning not just your ability to nail something exactly, but to get in the right ballpark of what someone might do for a living, or to get into the ballpark of what someone's karma might be with regard to, you know, let's say, oops, sorry, something is popping up here. I got to close this box. Okay. So let's say that something's showing up in the reading, and it's like you said, it's not matching, that a big part of the symbolic language acquisition has to do with, you know, being able to identify things in ways that you don't already know how to identify. And by doing that over time, you're developing like this network of like symbols in the way the symbols can speak in your mind. You're seeing so many different instances of how the moon could speak, like you said, to plumbing or something else. And then before you know it, you're in the next reading and you describe something in a way that is really intuitive and really on the mark. And suddenly you're like, wow, I think I'm becoming a better, you know, predictive and descriptive astrologer. And it's because during readings, you know, I wasn't afraid to open my mind and look for a new symbolic pathway to something that my client was describing to me. Yeah.
Totally.
I love that you were brave enough to do that during a reading, because a lot of the times I feel like you can just really freak out if you're not, you know, it's like, oh my God, the chart's wrong, or I'm wrong, or I'm stupid, or it's like you just get brain freeze or something.
Yeah.
Well, so would you say that there is a particular type of clientele that has been drawn to you? I feel like one of the unique things about starting a professional practice is sometimes it's really surprising who you end up serving, like the type of client with the type of issues or the type of demographic. Or have you found that there's been any, maybe not just one type, but like a few different types of client that you are regularly serving?
Yeah, it's, I primarily do readings for, Gen Z, Generation Z. They're the youngest generation right now, between the ages of, how old are they? Like 14 to 27, I believe, okay, is the Gen Z. And that's who I mostly serve, because that's who like finds my videos on TikTok. But like it can vary sometimes based on the type of content I'm posting on TikTok. Like recently I did a series talking about like neurodivergency in the birth chart. And then, you know, I got an influx of readings from people who are neurodivergent of like various ages, wanting to learn more about it. So it is mostly like people who are teens and in their 20s, but like sometimes it can be anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I always find it interesting to see, you know, during different phases of my career so far, like there's been different types of clientele that's come in, and sometimes it's reflective of sort of where I'm at or what I'm interested in or what I might be going through myself personally. And then, you know, clientele often has this like this weird barometer for, you know, where I'm at or what I'm doing or whatever. So that's really interesting. So you gave that one piece of advice for everyone, which was to really hone the basics before diving in so you don't feel too overwhelmed. And then we kind of qualified that by saying, and there's this language acquisition process during the actual experience of reading, which, you know, you have to keep an open mind and stuff like that. What, any other pointers that you would give, any other places you got stuck, and advice you would give to people as they're working through different hard spots in their development?
Some of the other places that I got stuck,
or maybe still get stuck, you know, I mean, it's nice to hear. I there's places I still get stuck regularly too, you know?
I think, I'm trying to think about some of the places I get stuck, but honestly, it is like the basic things that, you know, sometimes I just can't understand or can't see until I like take a, like, not like break, but kind of like slow down a little bit and kind of leave my ego aside of, you know, being like right or like thinking I know everything, and you know, really listening to the client and their experience, and like I said, trying finding their experience in the chart. Sometimes I do have to like put the ego aside and be like, okay, maybe I don't always know what I'm talking about. Right. And let me slow down and try to understand this.
I think it becomes like investigative journalism or something. There's, you know, moving from position of expert to moving into position of carefully asking questions, or asking a question to draw out an experience and help us find the symbolic way through. So one thing that is probably implied by what you're saying is that in order to do this, you have to be able to adapt on the fly and maybe ask more questions of your client in order to help you see the symbols. And I think there's almost like a stigma where it's like, well, the astrologer can't ask questions because we have all the answers. You know, we see the whole thing. And so what do you like, how do you start with questions when you read for someone, or do they naturally come up as you go? How do you handle figuring out, but making that like investigation to find something that when it's not clicking, what do you do?
So I, with the readings, I structure them in a way where we are focusing on a specific topic or a specific area of their life. So I know what to look for. But then, like I said, like if I'm not seeing it, I'm like, going to ask more questions like, you know, are we talking about your experience, or are we talking about an experience you'd like to have? Or, you know, maybe an experience that you had in the past, just so that I can know more about what I'm looking at. And then as you were talking, there's something else that came into my mind about like a lesson that I've learned being a professional astrologer so far. And it is not trying to solve my clients' issues or their problems, because you know so much of the time, you know, you see these like things that they're struggling with, and like I want to give them advice on how to overcome that, but then I have to remember like that's not my place. You know, I like to think of myself as like a translator, not a therapist, which is sometimes what I really want to do, because you know I can hear that they're struggling or they're anxious, and I'm like, I have to know my place, and it's not to give them advice on like what to do, but you know, to tell them what's coming up in their life, or you know, what has happened, or you know, some of the energies that are influencing them, so that they can make their own decisions instead of like me, taking on their responsibility a little bit and like making decisions for them. Like, especially because my audience is so young, you know, like teenagers, people in their early 20s who, you know, still have more life to live. They ask me all the time, like, what should I do? And I'm like, I can't tell you what you should do. I can only tell you the energies that are around you, you know? So I think that's definitely one of the things that I have struggled with, and I still do struggle with it every day, because you know I want to help so bad, but it's not my place.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously in modern astrology, there are going to be people who have, you know, formally trained as a therapist somewhere and then study astrology, and the two come together in a therapeutic way. But for most of us, I feel like, you know, our role is as the translator of signs and omens, right? We're there to help a person understand, okay, this helping to describe a karmic pattern and the energies and archetypes at play gives an understanding from within the experience of it that often helps a person on their own start to make shifts. And so there's a therapeutic dimension to what we do, but we're not usually the ones who are spending week after week after week really working through something with a person. We're there to illuminate the pattern, give some insight. With that understanding, hopefully shifts start happening naturally, or we're there to predict and describe upcoming seasons and maybe some advice about how to meet a Saturn transit or something, or what it's going to be like, so that we're more prepared. But as like karmic translators, archetypal translators, I feel like I always say this in my classes, that our work in helping people really doesn't have to go beyond the kind of advice you might get from a friend at a coffee shop, sitting down with your laptop, popping open their chart and maybe giving some general advice, but nothing that would potentially cross a boundary within an existing friendship, right? It would be like pretty casual, friendly advice that's coming from no aura of guruship or, you know, therapeutic expertise. It's just heart to heart, person to person advice that maybe comes from common street experience, you know? And from that, there's sometimes a lot that's there actually, just like, hey, you know, it sounds like with the Saturn placement, you're really hard on yourself, you know, like be easy on yourself, or, you know, simple advice sometimes comes through. But I think what I hear you saying, and what I so appreciate about what you're saying, is that there's this way of like not putting too much pressure on ourselves to wear too many hats at once. And it's one of the hard parts about it is that it's not necessarily, at least I find this, that I don't necessarily think that that's my role, but other people might think that's my role.
Yeah, definitely. I know I thought that that was my role in the beginning.
Yeah. And you have to learn how to just be cool with like what you can do and who you are. And sometimes I'll actually say to a client, like, well, I'm not a therapist, but, you know, I can give you, you know, just my thoughts and opinions about how to handle this based on what I've seen in my own life experience. And even I find that even if I just say that, most people are like, well, yeah, please do. Like, you, if you know anything about this Saturn experience or this Venus transit or whatever, like, I'd love to hear it. So I don't think people mind that we're not therapists either. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah. So those are really good pieces of advice, really solid. Have you, just out of curiosity, might as well open this can of worms, have you ever read for a close friend or a family member and had, well, maybe there's been positive experiences. Have you ever had a challenging one reading for someone that you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I know I,
you don't have to tell us who it is, but
yeah, no, it's my mom. She, you know, she uses TikTok too. And she found out about astrocartography and she was asking me if I could do an astrocartography reading for her. And I was like, I have not really studied that. I don't really know much about it, but I can use the tools that I have to give you, you know, some understanding about this. And, you know, she was asking about moving to specific areas. And I was like, okay, so if you move to this area, you know, you've got Mercury retrograde in your money house, and right, probably not going to be good for money, you know? And so that was hard to tell her, because, you know, she wanted to move there and she was a little but then I'm put in a weird situation, because at the same time, I'm like, I'm not really qualified to be doing
might not know what I'm talking about.
please don't trust me.
Right. That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. I've had a number of situations over the years where people will, you know, want me to read for them that, yeah, it's always tough. It's like, you want to be a friend or a, you know, you want to help out, but at the same time, it's like, it can come between you and someone else very quickly when it's not exactly what a person wants to hear. And then you also have to go on trying to maintain, you know, a normal relationship. And so I'm always tell people to, you know, my students anyway, I'm always like, just be cautious with that. Make sure, like, there's some people I've read for the friends and family members, and I always feel better when they book a reading through the website. You know, I'm like, and that's kind of what I do now. I'm like, if you want to do a reading, I'm happy to do so. You got to, you know, not that I'm like, go stand in line with the others, you know, it's like, but like, you have to go and do it the right way, because that's part of how I make sure that that sacred container is around the experience. So I've kind of stuck to that for the most part. Unless, like, you know, I've done some horror areas where, okay, a family member has a missing wallet in their house, or they're, you know, it's like, I'm trying to do something kind of in the moment, because usually it's horror area that it'll be a little bit more off the cuff. But yeah. So what does your mom think about? I mean, it sounds like your family, or at least your mom, is supportive of you doing astrology. Was she always that way? Was she always also into astrology, or how did that come about?
So I, growing up with my mom, she is like a tarot reader. She's a medium. Like, she's very much into spirituality. And that's also how I knew my sun sign from a young age. And so when I took up astrology, she was so excited, and she started buying me a bunch of tarot cards. And I was trying to explain to her, I was like, this isn't really the same thing, but thank you. And then when I started to practice professionally, she did not really understand that it was a legitimate job. And So it took a while until like I was earning a full-time income that she was like, okay, this is legit. Let me not talk loudly when I'm walking past your room because you might be doing readings. But I'm still trying to like tell her that when she like watches like the TikTok horoscopes to use her rising sign and not her sun sign. I haven't really gotten her on board with that, but maybe someday.
Yeah, I think honestly, like for me, the change to rising sign for your horoscope makes 10 times more sense once you start studying Hellenistic or using whole sign houses, or both. And also when you get more, accustomed to looking at your birth chart through whole sign houses with transits like day to day, week to week, month to month for a couple of years, then all of a sudden your rising sign is like, yeah, there's no better placement than your rising sign. So, yeah, anyway, I love that your mom, there's this, I think it's really special that if there's ever like a generational lineage of like healers, or I mean, I consider myself to have something of that because my dad was a preacher, and I'm kind of like an astrological preacher in a weird way. But I can't say that my dad was like a tarot reader and or anything like that. And I just always am just like, that must have been really cool in some ways to grow up having that normalized already to the point where maybe there's not such a like, I feel like I had a real couple of years of like, it's not at all like coming out with a sexual identity, like it's a totally different thing, but it was a real existential fear of telling people that this is who I was. And it was, so I just imagine it being like, well, that would be really helpful that, mom was into tarot. I mean, did it make it any easier when it came to deciding to be a professional reader or feeling like, hey, I could do this?
I definitely do think it made it easier because, like, when I was really young, I remember my mom giving like professional tarot readings. And so I knew that she was going to be cool with it because like it's something that she had done in the past. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I can do this as well. I think with her like apprehension of me doing it was, like back when she was doing it, like I don't know, the early 2000s, like it wasn't as easy to have a clientele online as it is today. I think she was a little bit like nervous about it. It's like, oh, you're not going to do well financially, but it's like, I'm good.
I mean, just to put it to just to kind of dovetail off from what you just said, I've had family members literally in the past year, we're talking maybe since like the pandemic, like 2020 to now, and it seems like during the pandemic, for a lot of people, the idea that you could be a stay-at-home content creator, or that you could be your job could be online, became suddenly feasible. Especially in my experience, this is just my this is not the truth, just my experience for the older generations. It was like my mom and her partner, and like lots of other people in that age group, suddenly started being like, it's really incredible that you can do this. I'm like, I've been doing it for 12 years, you guys, like, come on, you know what I mean? Like, it's not new. And but for them, like during the pandemic, so many things moved online. A lot of people started working at home. I just think it became more noticeable that there's a whole generation of people who work on YouTube, who, their services online, et cetera. And I just felt a lot more validated in the past couple of years from older people in my life, including uncles. I had an uncle before he died. He died of cancer, and he during the pandemic. And I talked to him on the phone not long before he died, maybe a week before he died, and he just said, "You really figured out a way to be creative and be true to yourself and your career, and it's really interesting what you're doing." And this is, someone I love dearly, but who had never really acknowledged that. And I think part of it's because he was dying, but also part of it was because he had made numerous comments. I had seen him a year before, and he was talking, this was in the early part of the pandemic, and he had been talking about how you know, look at everything being online and da da da. And I just, yeah. So anyway, I think that there's something happening generationally where a lot of people's creative careers or spiritual art forms are becoming more valid in this, like in sort of Western society. And I also wonder, I mean, as someone who owned a yoga studio for like a decade with my wife, if part of that isn't also because, you know, yoga in so many ways is like the gateway drug for Eastern spirituality or like old ancient world spirituality in general, or like indigenous spirituality, like different forms of shamanism from all over the globe. That I think that gradually, like yoga and studios that offer sound healing and, you know, all sorts of different modalities, that people have gradually become more and more accepting of like a lot of different cultural, religious, ethnic forms of wisdom from like all over the world. So anyway, that's just a me rambling, but
yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I did find out, by the way, Ivy, one little story I'll share with you is I did find out someone sent me a book some years ago written by a woman named Virginia Ellenboss, and she was an astrologer living in Michigan, and that there's just a small like clan of Ellenbosses. So yeah. That's my given last name. And she was an astrologer who wrote a book about Neptune and Pluto for AFAN, and they published it. And I found out through Ancestry.com, I think it was, mm-hmm. that she's like, she was married to one of like my grandfather's like cousins or something like that. You know what I mean? So there was, she married into the family. So she wasn't like, you know, she so it's kind of like, comes from a different line herself, but that was one astrologer that was sort of like in the mix of my family. I thought that was kind of cool.
That is really cool.
And we found that out, by the way. I found that information out the week that my daughter, Virginia, was conceived.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and didn't know it at the time that she had been conceived. And then we ended up naming her Virginia because my wife's grandmother's name is Virginia, but my little, my wife said, what do you think about Virginia? And by the time we found out, I knew about this connection. I was like, well, I have my own private, special little esoteric reason for liking that name. So that yeah. sounds, you know, like
that's really fun cool for me too.
Yeah. Ivy, I have another question for you, which is, where do you see your trajectory as an astrologer? Do you have goals, dreams, wishes for how you want to evolve and develop your practice as your, I mean, you're obviously since 2019, you've been on a fast track with learning and growing and developing your practice. And that's super impressive. What are your goals when you see yourself 5 years off or 10 years off from now?
Honestly, that is really hard for me to picture. I don't know why. I think it's just something my age group does, but it's hard to see myself 5 years from now. Like yeah. 5 years ago, I did not think that I would. I don't know. It's just hard. Like I don't. It's hard to look ahead. In 5 years, I hope I'm still doing astrology. I hope TikTok is still as popular as it is today, so I can still use that as a way of connecting with people. But honestly, I have no idea.
And, you know, you don't need to answer that question from a 1981 Capricorn moon child over here being like, what's your 10-year plan? You know, like you can just, yeah, that was a great answer. But what I guess, like, let's just start with a basic question. You, I assume you still hope to be doing astrology. That would be a dream, would be let's keep doing this.
Yeah. Yes.
That's really cool. Do you have any inclination as a writer? Do you hope to write ever, or is that in your like wishes? I feel some people are like, I want to write a book about astrology or something like that.
Not necessarily like write a book. I think one of the things I would like to accomplish is making traditional astrology trendy. That's something that I try to do on TikTok, is like introduce my audience to these traditional techniques. And the reaction is like 50-50, because like half of the time, you know, they like on TikTok, the way that the algorithm works is like my audience is already being shown astrology videos before they get to mine, and it's primarily modern astrology. So, you know, when they like come across my video and I'm like talking about the 12th house, and I'm not talking about it being like a spiritual mystical house or something, they're like, that's not right. but then like other times I will like introduce a topic such as like, what was the one I talked about and they really liked? They really liked it when I talked about aversions, because I was able to introduce it in a way that they really vibed with. I also was able to talk about like and girding in a way that they really liked. Antitia. Oh, yeah. I talked about antitias and contra antitias, and I phrased it in a way where it was like, there is a sign in the zodiac that you're not supposed to get along with, but for some reason you do. And, you know, like that was like antitia, and like they really, really liked that. So one thing that I would like to accomplish is like making traditional astrology like more trendy and more like acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of what in my bhakti yoga tradition, the guru of my guru, he was the one who brought bhakti to the West in the 1960s, made it very popular and prominent, that some of the Beatles took it up and so forth. And he said that the trick to communicating something of this ancient wisdom of yoga was to not to change any of the core wisdom, but to repackage it according to time, place, and circumstance, so that a new generation of people living in a new time in a different place find it accessible and easy to relate to. And that's the task of every new generation, is to bring the timeless wisdom into a form that's like easily accessible and fun, and, you know, and really opens the door wide so that people can come in. And, you know, I think that's one of the goals of my program and actually doing this series, is to show people the different faces and personalities and sort of astrological profiles of students who come through the programs and who are off doing their own things, and making ancient astrology accessible for other people. So I have to say, I'm just super appreciative of what you're doing. And I just hope that you have all the success in the world with all of your endeavors and continuing to do this stuff. I am going to point people to your website one last time before we close.
Okay.
And that is, I have to bring it up again. Oh dear, I accidentally closed the window. Well, it is zero. It's zero as in the actual number, degreestaurus.com, just in case people want to spell it out. And I'll put it up. Let me see here. I'm going to do this. That should put us both there. Can you see it on the screen now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect, right? So 0degreestaurus.com. When you scroll down, the best thing to do for connecting with Ivy is to click on the TikTok or YouTube links, because that's where you're going to get all of her content. And then you can book readings right here on the main page and learn more about Ivy right here. There's some FAQs and more about the readings and stuff like that. So you can click on... like here's a full birth chart plus aspects report. So there's different types of readings that you have there that people can check out as well. Like I said, TikTok and Instagram are linked on the homepage. Anything else that you want to share with everyone about how to connect with you, Ivy?
Nope, that's pretty much it. Yeah, definitely TikTok is like where I'm most active. So that's like where you can have easy access to me.
Best place to connect for sure. Well, thank you for coming, sharing your story, telling us about all the different piece of advice that you had and what you're up to. And really, really appreciate your presence here today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I want to remind all of you to please like, subscribe to the channel, share your comments, share some of your own story with astrology in the comment section. We really appreciate that. And when you do subscribe, click the notification bell for updates that will keep you notified when I go live. You want a transcript of this talk, it can be found usually within 24 hours on the website. Don't forget, new course starts on June 5th. And that is what we have for today. So thank you so much for being here, everybody, and for Ivy for being here. And we will see you again next time. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.